It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We began today's show with a look at George Washington's experiences in the region. Since then, a number of U.S. presidents have spoken, stayed, or visited Washington, Pennsylvania. We spoke with Professor Jennifer Harding of Washington and Jefferson College last year on the debut of its presidential walking tour. We began by asking Professor Harding what inspired the tour.
I originally found out that there had been several presidents that had visited here because I was teaching a class for our first year seminar program called The American Presidency in Fact, Fiction, and Film. I wanted to get the students walking around town. I just like to do that, get them out in the community a little bit. So I just tried to find out if there had ever been a president who had come here that they could go visit the site. And as I began to research more and more, I discovered that not just one, but actually 15 presidents had visited Washington.
That's a bit like, drilling for oil and hoping to find maybe a little stream, and then there's a huge gusher coming
exactly.
out of the ground.
It was exciting.
So who are, don't mean to put you on the spot here, but what the heck, who are the 15 U.S. presidents who have
right,
a connection to Washington?
Let's see if I can name them.
Okay.
James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, John Quincy Adams, Benjamin Harrison, Zachary Taylor, Ulysses S. Grant, William Howard Taft, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Warren G. Harding, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. Now, that's counting people who were here before they were in office, while they were in office, and then also after they left office. I think I got all of them. I may have missed one or two.
I was writing them down as you were saying them, and you got all 15, Jennifer.
Excellent.
Magnificent. Good for you. And so you have all these presidents who ended up in Washington, PA, but why? How and why did they end up here?
Well, in the 19th century, it really was largely because of the National Road. The route took presidents, whether they were coming by stagecoach or on horseback, took them right through Washington. Washington, PA, on their way to Washington, D.C. And what presidents would have done is they would have often come to Wheeling by way of maybe a steamboat, gotten off at Wheeling, and then traveled from Wheeling to Washington, D.C. And so a lot of them just en route would have come through Washington. And later, presidents came for different reasons. Some came because they knew people here. One came because he actually was paid to come deliver a speech. That was William Howard Taft. And some came for campaigning reasons.
William Howard Taft was paid to deliver a speech?
Yes, at Washington and Jefferson College.
See, that sounds like he was paving the way for the cottage industry that that all presidents have the option to turn to when they leave office, which is to give the speeches. They don't make, relatively speaking, that much money while they're in office, but they can make a ton of it out of office.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We had a speakership that was funded by a woman named Elizabeth Stockdale. And so the fund was to bring speakers into campus, and so one of the people they brought in was Taft. And he actually at the time was teaching at the law school at Yale, so he wasn't unemployed or anything.
So this was
he came in to speak.
Right, so this was post-presidency when he was teaching law and before he was appointed to Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, that's right.
The question is, did they have enough food to feed him? Because apparently he had a very big appetite.
Poor Taft. I feel bad. That's all people know about him is, oh, yeah, he's the big president. The more I learned about him, the more I was intrigued by the many different things he had done.
And it should be pointed out that when he left office, he lost 80 pounds. He was in much better shape, lived into his 70s, and fulfilled what was his ultimate dream, which was to serve on the Supreme Court. And I'm sure you know, Jennifer, that he's the only president ever to do that.
Yes, that's actually in the tour.
See, I knew you would know that. Now, what are some of the more interesting, that's a pretty interesting one in and of itself, but what are some of the other more interesting connections that U.S. presidents have to Washington, PA?
Well, one of the strongest connections was with Ulysses S. Grant because he actually had a friend who lived here. His name was William W. Smith, and he was the friend of Ulysses Grant, but he was actually the cousin of Ulysses' wife, Julia. So they came several times and often stayed, for several days or a week when they came. And so his visits, you know, I think are particularly meaningful. He would meet people in the town. He would go to church. He laid the cornerstone of the town hall that was built in 1869 in Washington. So some of my favorite stories are about him coming. And he, I guess he had this thing that he didn't like to give speeches. He didn't like crowds. So even when he agreed to lay the cornerstone of the town hall, he did it on the condition that he wouldn't have to give a speech. And so they didn't, you know, they didn't make him do that because everybody knew him and sort of knew that he didn't like that kind of attention.
That's almost unheard of, that a president who did not like to make speeches. But of course, we're talking about U.S. Grant, who was obviously a man of action, a war hero. But that is interesting. There are other presidents who did not have as strong a connection as Grant, because even before the airplane was invented, had access to a train or whatever means of travel they needed to get in and out of a place within the course of a day and not have to stay over. Were there other presidents who, like Grant, spent that kind of time in Washington, PA?
Yeah, but there's several presidents who stayed overnight. And that was, you know, definitely in the days when travel was a little harder. This was, you know, a fair-sized town. They could count on getting good lodgings here. And so, you know, it's everybody wasn't just driving through or coming for the day. There were people who stayed overnight. But I guess another significant visit was by John Quincy Adams in 1843. And he came because there was a congressman who was serving with him in the Congress. You mentioned Taft becoming the only president who later went on to be in the Supreme Court. John Quincy Adams is a president who fascinates me because he actually went on to serve in the House of Representatives after being president. And there was a fellow congressman who lived here in Washington, and he came because that congressman was a buddy of his, and he had invited him to come to town. And then while he was here, he visited with townspeople, and he appeared at the Washington Female Seminary, which was a prominent girls' school in Washington in the 19th century. So that, I think, is also a really interesting visit.
We are talking with Washington and Jefferson College Professor of English Jennifer Harding, who is leading a tour of sites of presidential visits, speeches, and other various and sundry happenings related to some 15 U.S. presidents in nearby Washington, Pennsylvania. I want to keep you for just a couple more minutes, though, here, Jennifer, and I'm curious as to whether any of these presidents who visited Washington, PA, if they left any souvenirs behind.
Yes, there's many artifacts that Ulysses S. Grant left, and those are on display at the Washington County Historical Society, which is located in the Lemoyne House in Washington. So, yes, you can see those. But we designed the tour, and I would like to point out that the tour is actually intended to be a self-guided tour, and it's a 12-page brochure that's got pictures, it's got the route that you would take, and you can pick that up at the Visitor Center or at the library on campus or the Historical Society and easily do the tour yourself at any time. So I did want to make sure people knew that.
That's great. So that you just take the brochure and just follow the instructions.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little map, and at every stop, there's directions to the next stop. So I think it's relatively easy for people who live here or for people who don't live here. But the point of the stops is that each stop is connected to a presidential visit, because we thought it's really meaningful. You know, it's nice to see artifacts, but it's also very meaningful to be in the spot where you can look at a building and say, you know, I'm standing where Barack Obama, you know, came to speak in 2008, or I'm at the restaurant where Bill Clinton came in 1992, or I'm at the spot John Quincy Adams spoke at in 1843. So it's, I guess, the goal is to connect place with the history of that place and to actually be in the geographical setting where things took place.
Now, when you mentioned the restaurant that Bill Clinton visited in 1992, which one was that? I'm assuming it's still there.
Yes, it's called the Union Grill. It's about a block from the Washington and Jefferson campus. Nice restaurant. You go downstairs, and Bill Clinton was there in 1992, and the owner got his picture taken with Bill Clinton, and he still has that that on display in the restaurant. If you go there, you can see a picture of Bill Clinton back in the day before his hair turned gray.
Well, that would be interesting to see. Did some of these modern, and you mentioned, I believe, Clinton was a candidate when he came?
He's been here three times. He came in 92 when he was campaigning for himself. He came in 2008 when he was campaigning for his wife. And then he actually came back later in 2008 campaigning for Barack Obama. And at that time, he said at the start of the race, I was for someone else. So he acknowledged that he had actually come originally to campaign for Hillary. But in the last election, it seemed like they were talking about Clinton campaigning for Obama as if it had never happened before. But, you know, we know, those of us in Washington, that he was here in 2008 and spoke on behalf of Barack Obama. So it wasn't, you know, new in the 2012 election.
Were the modern presidents, the Clintons and the Obamas, were they aware of some of the history and the other presidents who preceded them in visiting Washington, PA?
I doubt it. I'm sure it's such a whirlwind when they come to visit. But I don't know, now that we have this printed brochure that describes the presidential visits, I'd love it if, you know, someone who was a president or campaigning for president came to town, if someone slipped that into their hands, that would be great. Maybe then they would realize they were part of a long train. It wasn't a unique original idea to come here.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. My guest, Washington and Jefferson Professor of English, Jennifer Harding, who came up with the idea for a presidential walking tour in Washington, PA, which some 15 U.S. presidents have a connection to. Were there ever any controversies, Jennifer?
There was one controversy when Jackson came to visit, and this was back in the early 19th century. And while he was here, there were rumors that he had visited with some secret political operative, and he later had to deny it, and he went on record saying, I didn't secretly meet with anybody, and the local newspaper printed a testimonial from citizens saying he didn't meet with anybody while he was here. So that was definitely maybe the biggest controversy that took place.
Do you think he doth protest too much? Do you suspect something more than the account that was printed?
Possibly. I mean, Jackson was very well connected in this area. He passed through several times, and from what I've read, knew lots of people. You know, everyone would greet him. Everybody thought they were buddies with Jackson. And, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe it had actually happened.
So how were you able to plan all this out?
Well, originally it was an idea I had, and I co-wrote the walking tour with my colleague, Tom Mainwaring, who's a professor of history. I'm a professor of English. And he and I both have an interest in American history, and I just was chatting with him one day and said, I have this idea. Do you want to work with me on it? I'm sure it won't take long. We'll just throw it together. And from there, it turned into a much deeper project, but we both got really into it. We really enjoyed the research, and eventually, we took the idea to our communications office here and said, you know, if we put this together, would you be willing to print it for us? And they really liked the idea as well. So it really was a collaboration, you know, between me and my colleague Tom and then the communications office here. And we got a lot of help from people in the community as well who helped us research at the library, both on campus and our public library, Citizens Library, as well as at the Historical Society. So it's really been a nice collaboration of lots of different people who have helped put it together.
Well, I have to tell you, Jennifer, you may be a professor of English, but you might as well be a professor of history, because the information that you have shared with us during our conversation has been absolutely fascinating. I think we've all learned a lot from the discussion, and anybody taking this tour, I think, is really going to enjoy it. Anybody who has any interest at all in presidential history will have a lot of fun with this. We've been talking with Washington and Jefferson Professor of English, Jennifer Harding, who came up with the idea for the presidential walking tour in Washington, PA. Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
It's been great. Thank you very much for having me.
And happy President's Day to you.
Thanks. Happy President's Day to you.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of this program or want to hear a past segment, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.